Please open your Bibles to the book of Amos. Amos chapter 4. In your Scofield Bible, page 936. We'll be reading the verses 6 through 12, and we'll read these verses responsively. Amos chapter 4, page 936 in your Scofield Bible, verses 6 through 12. And as is our custom, let's please stand for the reading of the Word of God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increase, the palmer worm devoured them, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses. And I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And let's finish together on verse 12. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And let's pray. Father, what a good day this is. Thank you that lots of places folks are remembering that Jesus rose from the tomb, and that's good, but it's wonderful that here we think of that continually. What a wonderful joy it is to know that our Savior lives, and He lives whatever the day is, whatever the week holds. And we're thankful. We're thankful for our church and for our preacher, and we're praying that He'd certainly bless concerning the service this morning. A lot of needs represented here, and we pray that You'd help our hungry hearts and give of Thy power to both preacher and the listener. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to the book. What a marvelous book it is. Help me as I speak, and our friends as they hear. Amen. It is now 12:28. Almost always, I finish somewhere around 12. Somewhere between 12 and 2. But almost always, I finish somewhere around 12 o'clock. And we are always out by 12:30, with the exception of maybe two Sundays a year. That's the beginning of the spring and the fall program. I may go a little past 12 this morning, but if I do, I'll make up for it later, and you'll be out by 12:30, I promise you. So if it gets about 12 o'clock and I'm still going, you wonder when I'm going to find the landing strip. I'll crash land before 12:10, but I may get through by 12, but if I don't, it'll be shortly thereafter, so don't worry, and you will not be out of here 1 minute past 12:30. So listen carefully. Instead of straight, look right this way. I want to give you a word about our text, our scripture this morning. God had come to Israel through His prophet Amos. And God had said, I want you. I want you for myself. Now He said, I've tried so many ways to get you. He said, in the first place, I gave you cleanness of teeth and want of bread. I took the food away. Listen to me back here. I took the food away from you. I wanted you to cry out to me and beg me for food. I wanted you to come back to me. yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Then he said, I withheld the rain and sent a drought. I thought maybe that would cause you to feel your need. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Then he said, I smote you with blastings and mildew. And that didn't do. Then he said, I tried to bless you. He said, I saw to it that your gardens increased and that your vineyards increased and the fig trees and the olive trees bore extra fruit. And that didn't work either. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Then he said, I sent the palmer worm to devour your vineyards and devour your olive trees and your gardens. And that didn't work. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. He said, then I sent you pestilence. That's another word for disease. I sent you diseases, and hoping that you'd realize your need of me. And that didn't work. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Then he said, I sent you a war. I sent you young men to battle, and many were slain with the sword, and I thought that would cause you to return to me. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Then he said, I've even overthrown some of your cities. I've tried goodness, I've tried wrath, I've tried love, I've tried mercy, and nothing seems to work. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Now he said, because of that, he said, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. I've exhausted my resources. I've tried everything I know. Now he said, prepare to meet thy Lord. Now as a background, let me preach to you. God says to you this morning, I want you to turn my treble up and the bass down, please. God says to you this morning, I want you. I want you to be my child. And if you're my child, I want you to serve me. And God gives several reasons, measures that he's attempted to bring you to himself. Look, the first thing God says is this. He says, let's start with my rights. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 and 19 says, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You belong to me, says God. I created you. I created an earth for you. You live on my earth. I gave you mountains and valleys. I gave you trees and meadows and flowers. I gave you the sun by day and the moon and the stars by night. I gave you plants of fruit that you may enjoy and made them tasty for you to eat. I gave you water to drink. I gave you air to breathe. I gave you eyes to see and beauty which to see. I gave you ears to hear and harmony to hear with those ears. I gave you a mind so you could reason. I gave you a heart so you could love and feel and be loved. I gave you feet and legs so you could be mobile. I gave you arms so you can embrace. I gave you hands so you can work. You were once a speck of dust, says God, and I spoke you into being. You are mine. You're not your own. You're mine by creation. You're mine by redemption. I purchased you. I paid for you. I ransomed you. I bought you. And God says this morning, on that basis, come to me. Come and trust me as your God and as your Savior. Don't live your life apart from me. Let me reason with you this morning. By rights, you belong to me. And God comes this morning and says to you, I have a right to you. I created you. Hey, the air you breathe belongs to God. And the food you eat belongs to God. And the planet on which you live belongs to God. And the sun by the daytime and the moon by night and the stars belong to God. I'm saying God said you're mine by rights. I have a right to you, and God has a right to you this morning. He comes and says, okay, that won't work. You won't come to me because I have a right to you. He says, let me try again. I'll try to get you to come to me because of my goodness to you. And Romans 2, 4, the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. God said, if I cannot woo you to myself because I have a right to you, because of your decency and honor and integrity, and I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, anybody in this world that's not a child of God does not have integrity, does not have honesty, because you are robbing from God that which is rightly His, even yourself. But God's okay. If that doesn't work, let me try my goodness. He said, I have prepared a heaven for you. Now, he says, that ought to make you come to me. If I cannot appeal to you on the basis that you're mine by right and by creation, he said, then I have prepared a heaven for you. And he says, let me tell you about that heaven. It is filled with many mansions.
It has a wall around it of pure jasper, 216 feet high. It has 12 gates of pearl. It has streets paved with gold. It is 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles high. The foundations of the wall are of jasper and sapphire and chalcedony and emerald and sardonyx and sardius and chrysolite and beryl and topaz and jacinth and amethyst and chrysopras. And he said, if I can't get you to come to me because it's you're mine, he said, I beg you, come to me because I prepared a city for you. Come to me because of my goodness to you. He said, in that, let me tell you what's not in that city. I prepared a city for you where there are no tears. I prepared a city for you where there is no death. I prepared a city for you where there are no sorrows. I prepared a city for you where is nothing that defileth or an abomination. I prepared a city for you where there is no fear. I prepared a city for you where there are no unbelievers. I prepared a city for you where there are no abominable and no murder and no whoremongers and no sorcery and no idolatry and no lying and no night. God said, if you won't come to me because of my rights, because you're rightly mine, have a right to you, let me appeal to you through my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Our God is good. And his goodness should lead you to come to him. God said, let me tell you something else about the city. He said, I made a river of life in that city. Now, God said, if you want to know what that river of life is like, he said, look at the oceans. Look at the Pacific. Look at the Atlantic. He says, look at the bays and the harbors and rivers and lakes and ponds. God said, I did all that in 7 days. Imagine what the river of life must look like. It's taken me 2,000 years to build the river of life. God said, look, I prepared that city for you. If you won't come to me because I have a right to you, let my goodness in preparing a heaven for you draw you to myself. He said, look at the tree of life I prepared for you. He said, take some time and look at the willow tree, the palm tree, the spruce, the oak, the pine, the redwood, the maple, the sequoia, the dogwood, the azalea, the fig, the vine, the olive, the cedar, the peach, the apple, the orange groves. All of these, he said, I made in 7 days. Look at the mighty forest of North California, where the mighty sequoias are and the giants of the trees are. Look at the palm trees of Carolina rising like heavenly steeple above an earthly chancel. Look at the trees. Look at the dogwoods of Atlanta and North Carolina in the springtime. God said, I did all that in 7 days. I wonder what the tree of life is going to be like. I spent 2,000 years on that. Bible says, God says, and says there's also the tree of life. There are all manner of fruits on that tree of life. 12 manner of fruit on that tree of life. He says, look at the apple, the grape, the orange, the pineapple, the grapefruit, the banana, the pear, the plum, the apricot. He said, I made those fruit in 7 days. Imagine what this tree of life is going to be like and the 12 manner of fruit will be like. I've taken 2,000 years. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If you won't come to God because he has a right to you, if your integrity and honesty and character won't bring you to God, come to God because he's prepared a home in heaven for you. He said, I'll make all things new. Bible says heaven has the glory of God. No need of the sun, for Jesus is the light in the city. And the best thing about heaven, says God, is that Jesus will be there himself. You've never seen anything like it, he said. You've never heard anything like it, he said. You've never imagined anything like it, he said. In 7 days, he made the rose. In 7 days, he made the tulip, the gardenia, the carnation, the pansy, the chrysanthemum, the daffodil, the dogwood, the azalea, the lily, the magnolia, and the orchid, he said. Think what the flowers of heaven must be like. I've heard of a place that's called heaven. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the beauty. How beautiful heaven must be. Don't you want to go to heaven? I mean, wouldn't you go to the doctor and you take all the medicine so you can live a while here? I've got news. Come to Dr. Jesus. You can live forever. He said, I've tried to get you to come to me, Israel. He said, I've tried through a famine and that didn't work. I gave you food and that didn't work. I gave you health and that didn't work. I gave you disease and that didn't work. I gave you prosperity, and that didn't work. I gave you poverty, and that didn't work. He said, I've tried everything I can. And God comes this morning, and some of you ought to be appealed to by saying that God says, I have a right to you. But others of you, you might say, I'd like to go to heaven when I die. That isn't all. There's no death there. No hospital. No hospice. No funeral homes. No hearses. No ambulance. No cemeteries. No cancer. No heart attack. No hepatitis. No mononucleosis. No influenza. No multiple sclerosis. No muscular dystrophy. No diabetes. No strokes, no headaches, no sore throats, no sinusitis, no arthritis, no ulcers, no allergies, no deafness, no blindness, no cardiac arrest, no asthma, no bronchitis, no hay fever, no Parkinson's disease, no tuberculosis, no cataracts, no strep infection, no virus, no nervous breakdown, no meningitis, no earache, no hiatal hernia, no ruptured disc, no colonitis, no rheumatic fever, no bursitis, no closed arteries, no drugstores, no clinics, no wrinkles, and thank God, no hernia, and no flabby chicken necks either. You know what? If you're not a Christian, forgive me for saying, I think you're stupid. I really do. Somebody walked up to you and gave you a $500,000 house. You said, you don't force me into that. Don't high pressure me into that. Brother, that house I'm talking to, $500,000 couldn't buy the doorknob to it. God said, let me appeal to you. He said, first, in case you're a person of integrity and character, let me appeal to you through the fact that it's the right thing to do. You're mine. I bought you. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You belong to me. I gave you life. You were a little piece of speck of dust, and I caused you to live. And I gave you a world over which to live, and air to breathe, and water to drink, and food to eat. I gave you the goodness of all the earth, and its beauty, and its glory, and its majesty. I have a right to you. But he said, that won't bring ease. I'll try something else. I've got a home in heaven for you. I'd like for you to trust me because there's a heaven. Okay, he said, you still haven't come? I'll try another angle. I tried to get you to come to me because of my rights. That didn't work. Then I tried to get you to come because of my goodness, and that didn't work. He said, I think I'll try my love. He said, I love you. I love you like nobody's ever loved you. I love you with everlasting love. I love you with a pure love, untainted love. He said, if the fact that you're mine by right won't draw you to me, he said, then let my goodness draw you to me. If that won't draw you to me, let my love draw you to me. You want to see his love? Go to Jerusalem and see him wrongly tried for you. See him leaving the heavenly home with his Father and coming to earth for 33 homesick years away from the Father, away from heaven. See him sleeping by night on the hillside of Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives, while the birds flew to their nest and the foxes scurried to their holes, and see Jesus, God's Son, the perfect eternal Son of God, sleeping, a straight person for you. Oh, such love. And see him as he was kissed by Judas in a kiss of betrayal. See him wrongly arrested by the soldiers and wrongly tried by the courts of Jerusalem and the courts of Israel. See him as he was wrongly convicted and wrongly crucified. See him as he was beat. Hey, he did that because he loves you. Did you realize what I said? He loves you. The Creator of the universe loves you. The God of glory loves you. The King of kings loves you. He said, if I can't get you to come to me because I have a right to you, how about my goodness? If that won't work, he said, how about my love? And he said, let's try another angle. He said, I want you. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me today. There is a God in heaven. And that God in heaven wants to send you, take you to heaven to live forever and ever and ever. And that God in heaven loves you. And that God in heaven offers you a home in heaven if you'll trust him. He said, I want you. I'll try reasoning with you about my rights. I'll try through integrity. If that doesn't work, I'll remind you of my goodness, and maybe that'll bring you to me. If that doesn't work, I'll remind you of my love. He said, if that doesn't work, let's try another way. Let's try reason. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, Isaiah 1:18. Let's reason. All right, let's reason a minute. If there is a hell, would you want to escape it? If the Bible is true when it says, then should it say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed of everlasting fire. If there is a hell, suppose there is, we're reasoning now, if there is a hell, wouldn't you want to escape it? All right, let's reason again. If there is a heaven, wouldn't you want to go there? All right, but you say, preacher, I don't believe in heaven or hell. Now listen carefully, let's reason for a minute. I'm not more intelligent than you, and I'm not any dumber than you are either. My IQ in the Army was 141. I don't know how good that is, but I think it's above average. I'm no dumb bunny. I believe there's a heaven and a hell. I believe if you trust Jesus, you go to heaven. If you don't, you go to hell. Now, that's what I believe. Now, I give you the credit for being equally as intelligent as I am. Well, of course, you're not. But for this sermon, I'll give you credit for being equally intelligent. Okay, so you and I are of equal intelligence. I believe there's a heaven and a hell. That Jesus is the difference. You believe there's no heaven and no hell, okay? Now, you're no dumb bunny, and I'm no dumb bunny. Okay, let's suppose you're right. Suppose that you, of equal intelligence as I am, suppose that you're right, and there's no heaven, no hell. When you die, your body goes back to the grave. There's no soul that lives forever. And no, suppose you're right. What have I lost? You win, I don't lose. But I, of intelligence equal to yours, suppose I'm right. You're in a fix. You see? So I'm saying, if his rights to you won't bring you to him, if his goodness to you won't bring you to him, if his love for you won't bring you to him, let reasoning, good sense, and logic bring you to him. Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. How many folks in this room today, now listen carefully to this, how many folks in this room today have been to college? Stand up. If you've ever taken college courses, stand up. All over the building. While you're standing, how many of you have graduated? You have a degree from college. Raise your hand. Put your hand down. Be seated. So I guess we're not dumb bunnies. We have folks here this morning that have been to Christian colleges and secular colleges. We have folks here this morning that have graduated from the institutions that they call the institutions, the elite institutions of America that the world calls that. Now, wait a minute. We have a man sitting back. Well, I won't go into all of that. But we have PhDs here this morning. We have hundreds of people that have master's degrees here this morning. Now, account for us. Account for us. Are we retarded? Don't answer that. Are we idiots? Are you above us intellectually? You are not Christians. Are you above us intellectually? Then why would people with IQs that are above normal, and why would all these hundreds of college graduates here this morning in this room give their lives to Jesus Christ, accept that Bible as being the Word of God? I'm saying let's reason this thing out for a minute. Let's go a first step further. Let's reason again. Who has a hearing aid this morning? A hearing aid. A hearing aid! All right. Back there, okay. Hearing aid. You know how that hearing aid she has came into existence? It once was a little speck of dust. Now reason with me. Don't leave me now. That hearing aid she has was a little speck of dust. And somebody kicked it one day and it started rolling down the road. And then, all of a sudden, it began rolling faster and faster and faster and picked up, and then it began to harden. And then all of a sudden, sounds began to come in. It just evolved from a speck of dust. You say, Brother House, what kind of fool are you? I ask you, what kind of fool are you? There's not a person in this room this morning would say that somebody made that hearing aid. Well, if somebody made that hearing aid, somebody had to make the ear. And this ear right here is a lot more intricate than that hearing aid back there. I'm trying to tell you, somebody made that hearing aid so you can hear better. Somebody made the ear so you can hear. Reason with me for a minute. Well, I look at a camera. May I tell you how a camera came into being? It was once a matchbox. And that camera, all of a sudden one day somebody kicked it. And it got rectangular. And then somebody kicked it real hard and they kicked a hole right in the front of it. And then all of a sudden a little button came on the top. You say, are you a fool? No, but you are if you don't believe somebody made the human eye. If some scientist came here this morning and told you that the camera used to be a little box. And all of a sudden one day a freckle came on that box. And then another freckle came over and it was on the other side and that became the human eye. You'd say, you're crazy. Did you know what they teach in the universities of America? I'm talking about the elite places. I'm talking about the state universities. A man was once a little protoplasm. Just floating around. And all of a sudden a freckle came. And another freckle came. And then that freckle got infected. And it became an eye. I've often said, what if the freckle would be on the bottom side instead of the top side? You have to take your pants down to be able to see. I'm telling you, that's what science says. Nobody here would say that a camera evolved, and nobody would say a hearing aid evolved. Then why would you say something far more intricate than a camera, the human eye, and far more intricate than the hearing aid, the human ear? I'm saying somebody had to make that hearing aid, somebody had to make that camera, and somebody had to make the eye, and somebody had to make the ear. Let's reason together. Look at an artificial leg. Yeah, I tell you how an artificial leg came into being? Artificial limb. On this piece of wood, one day, a wart came. And that piece of wood began to wiggle that wart. And another wart came right beside the first wart. And that became two artificial legs. Would you like to know what science says? I'm talking about your kids at the public school. And you kids over here at the public school have heard this. That man was a protoplasm, and a couple of warts came. Suppose one wart had been up here and one wart had been down here. You'd have to be a boomerang to go anywhere. And that's how legs came. No, sir. Nobody would say an artificial limb evolved from a stick of wood. Somebody had to take that limb and work on it and work on it and work on it. Well, bless God, if the artificial leg cannot evolve, the real leg cannot evolve either. Reason with me. I said reason. He said, well, how's this Easter Sunday? You're supposed to preach sweet. I tell you what, you listen to what I'm saying this morning, come to Christ, you'll have sweet Sundays from now on, every 52 Sundays a year. Come now, let us reason together. Look at the pacemaker. The pacemaker inside the breast here. You know what it used to be? Little pocket radio. It evolved. It evolved. You say that... Somebody make the pacemaker? Well, of course not. The pacemaker just happened to become a pacemaker. You educated people here, secularly, you'd say this morning, if I said nobody made that pacemaker, you'd say you're a fool. Okay, how about the real heart? How about that organ right there for 70 years and 6 months in it has been beating and beating and beating? I'll tell you why. Somebody made that heart. Somebody made that leg. Somebody made that ear. Somebody made those eyes. Somebody made that nose. Somebody made this mouth. Somebody made this body. And if somebody did, let's take a toupee. I'd like to take one. I said that toupee there evolved. You'd say, you're crazy. Somebody made that toupee. But if somebody made the toupee, don't think somebody had to make real hair? Hey, you intelligent people. Hey, you secularly educated people. Now you listen to me. You better quit listening to somebody's got a PhD and listen to the God that made the PhD. Oh, no, sir. A toupee didn't evolve. And, well, my hair is unevolved, uninvolved, but... But nobody could, your pay couldn't evolve and the hair couldn't evolve. Artificial limb couldn't evolve and the real limb couldn't evolve. Pacemaker couldn't evolve and the heart couldn't evolve. And I, ear, hearing aid couldn't evolve, whatever that thing is. And a real ear couldn't evolve and the camera couldn't evolve. And the real eye couldn't evolve. Somebody made the camera. Somebody made the pacemaker. Somebody made the hearing aid. Somebody made the artificial limb. And somebody made the ear. Somebody made the nose. Somebody made the eye. Somebody made the heart. And that somebody is Jehovah God. Now let's reason for a minute. We're still reasoning. There's a God. If there is a God, or a maker, wouldn't he want us to know him? Would you want to take care of somebody, provide for somebody, and they never know who did it? Would you want to live in a room by yourself and provide for your children all your life and your children never see you? Reason with me. First is, there is somebody that made this intricate thing called the human body. Second, if there is somebody, that somebody would want to reveal himself to us. He did. He did reveal himself to us. His name was Jesus of Nazareth. Reason with me. If somebody made a hearing aid, somebody made the real thing. If somebody made the glass eye, somebody made the real thing. If somebody made the artificial limb, somebody made the real thing. If there is a somebody that made the real thing, he would want to reveal himself to us. And the Bible said that Jesus was God in the flesh, God incarnate. God did reveal himself. Now, I'm saying, God comes to you this morning and said, I've got several ways I want to appeal to you. If you're a person of character, let me appeal through you through my rights. You belong to me. I made you. Would you come to me? Because I have a right for you. That doesn't work. He said, all right. Let me appeal to you again. Would you come to me because of my goodness? I prepared a home in heaven for you. Would you come to me because of that? Okay, he said, if that doesn't work, let me appeal to you again. How about my love? Look at Calvary. Look at the nails and spikes in my hands and feet. Look at the crown of thorns on my brow. Look at the beaten back. Look at the cat of nine tails that's beating my back beyond recognition. Let my love draw you to me. If you're not saved this morning, come to Christ because he's his right. Come to Christ because of his goodness. Come to Christ because of heaven. Come to Christ because he loves you. And if that doesn't work, come to Christ because it's just good logical sense. All right, says God. Reason again. I tried to get you through my love. I tried to get you through my goodness. I tried to get you through your integrity, that you're mine. I tried to reason with you. Now he said, God says to you, I was hoping I wouldn't have to go this far. I was hoping that my love would bring you to me, but it didn't. I was hoping that my goodness would bring to you me, but it didn't. I was hoping heaven would bring you to me, but it didn't. I was hoping logic and reasoning would bring you to me, but it didn't. I didn't want to go this far. But I have to. For the rest of you, let fear bring you to me. I'd rather you come for other reasons. I'd rather you come because there's a heaven. I'd rather you come because of my love, my goodness, because of logic. But if none of those will draw you to me, he said 429 times in the Bible he mentions hell. 429 times he mentions heaven. And 51 times he mentions hell. In Revelation, there are 49 verses about heaven and 15 verses about hell. God does not want that to be the main reason you come. But if you won't come because of heaven, come because there's a hell. If you won't come because of His love, come because of His wrath. And God said, I'd rather not have you come for that reason, but because I didn't make hell for you, I made hell for the devil and his angels. I will not send you there. I don't want you to go there. You'll choose to go there. At the end of your life, I want you to go home with me. The devil wants you to go home with him. You decide where you want to spend eternity. In heaven or hell. Okay, says God. I've tried. I've tried to reason with those of you that have character. That I have a right to you. Then that didn't work for all of you, so I tried a new method. I tried to reason with those of you that would like to go to a heaven. I've tried to tell you how good I am. My goodness to you. That didn't work for all of you, he said, so I tell you what I've done. I've tried to tell you how much I love you. But that didn't work for everybody, he said. I've tried to logic and reason with you. But he said, if that doesn't work, let me remind you, and let me remind you too. As sure as there's a God in heaven, there is a hell. Those of you that are saved this morning, come to church every Sunday, you don't mind hearing about it. And those that come once a year, you desperately need to hear about it. There is a hell. It's not God's favorite way to draw you to himself, but it's his last resort. He said, come to me because I have a right to you. Come to me because I'm good to you. Come to me because I have prepared a home in heaven for you. Come to me because I love you. Come to me because it makes sense. I can't get you to come because of my goodness, if I can't get you to come because of integrity, if I cannot get you to come because of heaven, if I cannot get you to come because I love you, if I cannot get you to come because it makes sense, he said, let me remind you, there is a place called hell. It's up to you. Listen to me carefully. He said to Israel, I gave you a famine, you didn't come back. I gave you food, you didn't come back. I gave you health, you didn't come back. I gave you disease, you didn't come back. I gave you love, you didn't come back. I gave you wrath, you didn't come back. He said, I've tried everything. I gave you peace. You didn't come back. I gave you war. You didn't come back. And then Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, he says, okay, I've exhausted my resources. And then he shouts, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And God comes this morning and says to you, trust me because you're mine, have a right to you. For others of you, trust me because of my goodness. For others of you, trust me because I want to give you a home in heaven. For others, he says, trust me because I love you. For others, he says, trust me because it's logical. But he said, those that haven't done it yet, trust me to escape the fires of hell. Trust Jesus as your Savior and escape the wrath and judgment of Almighty God. But if my love won't bring you, and my goodness won't bring you, and my rights won't bring you, And logic won't bring you, and hell won't bring you. He said, prepare to meet thy God. He says this morning to you, if none of these work, I've exhausted my resources. I finished, and I want to just go through the little outline again. Some of you are walking this aisle this morning and trust Christ as your Savior. Because he has a right to you. Like that businessman in New York City, Brooklyn, New York, had never been in a Protestant church or a Baptist church of any kind in his life. Owned the big store in the neighborhood. Came to hear me preach because I had the largest church in America. He wanted to see what I looked like. Can you hear me? Sat back in the back, walked down the aisle, and he said, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. And I said, why? He said, because I'm an honest man. I expect folks to pay their debts at my grocery store and my store. I'm an honest man. I pay my debts, and tonight it makes sense. I heard what you said. God created me. He gives me breath, to air to breathe, and food to eat, and the world to live on. He said it's just the honest thing to do and the right thing to do to trust Christ. Some of you ought to come this morning and down this aisle after a while and say, I'm going to trust Christ because it's the right thing to do. But others of you that are not drawn by that, you ought to stop and realize how good God's been to you. You weren't born as a savage in a jungle. You were born as a citizen of the United States of America. You live in the most plush country in the world. The people in this room that live in the poorest homes would be the best homes in most of the cities of America. I say, God's been good. Let the goodness of God. That doesn't bring you to Him. Stop and realize He's prepared a home in heaven for you. Let heaven bring you to Christ. If that doesn't work, look at Him on Calvary and see His love to you. God commendeth His love toward us. Let His love bring you to Himself. If that doesn't work, reason and logic. Let the logic come now. Let us reason together. If the hearing aid didn't evolve, neither does the ear. If the artificial eye doesn't, the last eye doesn't evolve, neither does the real one. The artificial limb doesn't evolve, neither does the real limb. Artificial pacemaker doesn't evolve, neither does the heart. And so I come this morning and say, let reasoning bring you to Christ. Just good sense. If you're right and I'm wrong, I'm no loser. If I'm right and you're wrong, you're the loser. And then if that doesn't work, don't forget there's a hell. Whatever it is, whether you come to Christ because of logic, because of His love, because of His goodness, because of His heaven, because of His rights, or because there's a hell, you come to Christ. Doesn't matter why you come. If you come, He'll make you His child. Save you from hell. Take you to heaven when you die. Wipe your sins off your record in eternity. Doesn't matter why you come. It's if you come. Come unto me. Come because of my rights. Come because of my goodness. Come because of my heaven. Come because of my love. Come because of my good logic. Or come because of hell, fire, and damnation. But whatever you do, come to me. And I'll give you a home in heaven and life forever. Would you bow your heads, please?